Parshas Matos and Parshas Masi.
In the Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries quote from the Levush, that's one of the Svarim on the Shulchan Aruch, that we should be careful not to give more kavod to one of the two sedras than to the other. We should divide this aliyahs equally. What does that mean exactly, to divide the aliyahs equally? So there's a dispute in the commentaries how you're supposed to accomplish that. So the majority opinion holds that the main aliyahs are the first seven Zion Kruim, the seven aliyahs, and Hoysafas are extra if you want to make Hoysafas. So whenever you have two sedras that are mechuparim, you should always give 3.5 aliyahs in the first sedra, 3.5 aliyahs in the second sedra. In other words, you start Revi at the end of the first sedra, and you mechaber, you connect, you combine the two sedras with the aliyah of Revi. Then in the second sedra, you can give all the hoysafas you want, and that's no problem. You've equalized the two sedras with respect to the Zayin Kruim, with respect to the Takanas Chachamim, that requires Mitzad Adin that on Shabbos you should give seven aliyahs. The minority opinion holds, however, that you have to really equate, you have to equalize the two sedras with respect to all the aliyahs. So the Gabbai has to make up his mind in advance how many hoysafas he wants to make. See, if he plans to give three hoysafas, so the first seven aliyahs plus three hoysafas equals 10, so you should divide 5 and 5, and the second sedra should start with shishi, an under day, tzvei days. If the Gabbai makes up his mind in advance that he's going to give 12 aliyahs, so he should give 6 aliyahs in the first sedra, 6 aliyahs in the second sedra. So the general practice is, like the first opinion, because that's what the Taz quotes from the Levush, you only have to equate the two sedras with respect to the Zayin Kruim and your Mechaba with Revi. But there are those who recommend that to be Machmir for the second opinion, it's best not to allow any hoysafas. Don't make any hoysafas and shine hois machlekes. The whole machlekes only will begin if you'll start making hoysafas. So whenever you have mechubarim, it's anyway twice as long as it should be. Matas and masay. So just don't make any hoysafas and you won't get involved in the machlekes. In this week's Sedra, we're going to read about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specified one Nasi to represent each one of the 12 Shvatim with respect to Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, to divide Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah lists off the names of these 12 Nasiim. What exactly does that mean, that the Nesiim represented all the members of the Shevet with respect to Chalukas Ha'aretz? Well, when did they do that Chaluka? So the Rambam explains there were two Chalukas. Rambam points out that it took, the Tanakh says in Sefer Yeshua, that it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. And then the Talmud has an oral historical tradition that it took an additional 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael to the various mishpachas and to all the yechidim, until it was accomplished that kol echad v'echad makir es chelko. Everybody knew exactly what was his share in Eretz Yisrael, what was Reuben's share, what was Shimon's share. So then the Kedushas Haaretz was completed. So that Chalukas Haaretz took 7 years. They didn't need the Nesiim for that, and that Chalukas Haaretz was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. The Kibush V'Chiluk, the conquering, took 7 years, and the Chalukah took another 7 years. And those 14 years of Kibush V'Chiluk was the act of being Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. This pasuk in today's parsha That the Nesiim should represent all the members of the Shevet in order to accomplish the Chalukas Haaretz. So the Rambam explains, this Chalukah was done before they even began the Kibush. This was a different Chalukah. They drew a map of Eretz Yisrael. And instead of having, they had soldiers from all of the Shvatim fighting in the war. So instead of having the soldiers from Shevet Yehuda fighting in the north, the soldiers from Shevet Binyamin fighting in the south, then it's going to turn out Shevet Yehuda soldiers are going to conquer the north of Eretz Yisrael, Shevet Binyamin soldiers are going to conquer the south, but they're not going to get that share. They're going to get Yehuda and Binyamin, both got their own Yerushalayim. So they knew in advance which Shevet is going to get which area in Eretz Yisrael. And they drew a map of Eretz Yisrael, an approximate map of Eretz Yisrael. And they decided to send, they said, look, Shimon is going to get this share, roughly speaking. Yehuda is going to get that share. Zvulun, Yisachar, each Shevet is going to get a share. So let's send soldiers from Shevet Yisachar to fight in that area. So after they'll finish conquering that area, they'll remain there. That'll be their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. But if you're just going to have it, Shevet Yisachar is going to conquer their area, Shevet Zvulun is going to conquer their area, then the Rambam says this would be considered a kibush yachid. One Shevet goes and it conquers an area in Eretz Yisrael. So that's, the Torah is telling us that kibush yachid is not acceptable to be mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. You have to have kibush rabim. The conquest of Eretz Yisrael, which accomplished the kiddush, which created the Kedushas Haaretz, had to be a kibush rabim. The entire Klal Yisrael had to be involved in the kibush, in the conquest. So the Shvatim were represented by the 12 Nesiim, whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled out, and the names are listed off in today's Sedra. And these Yud-Beis Nesiim, these 12 heads of the Shvatim, drew on the map which Shevet is going to get which area. And they said, okay, we're going to send soldiers from Shevet Yehuda to that area, soldiers from Shevet Yisachar to that area, but the conquering is done, everybody's conquering on behalf of everybody. It's not that Shevet Zvulun is conquering from Shevet Zvulun, they're going to keep it. That would be a chisaron, that would be kibush yochid. Has to be the entire Eretz Yisrael is being conquered by the entire army of Klal Yisrael on behalf of everybody, but we're going to turn out to get this chiluk. This is how the Rambam interprets the parsha. The purpose of the Yud-Beis Nesiim, their role was to do the Chalukas Haaretz on paper before they even began the 7 years of warfare, the 7 years of kibush. The problem is, however, that in the days of the Tanoim there was a big dispute regarding the din of kibush yochid, whether kibush yochid is good enough to be mekadesh or not. So where is there room for a mach? The psak is that kibush yochid is no good. You need davke kibush rabim. Where is there room for a machlekes hatanoim? If the Rambam interprets that this is pshat in the chumash, the 12 nesim had to represent all of the shvatim in order that it should be considered a kibush rabim. So the answer is very simple. The machlekes hatanoim, the dispute that Tanoim had whether kibush yochid is good to be mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael proper. The Chumash in this week's Sedra gives us the borders, the Gvulas Haaretz, the borders of Eretz Yisrael. North, east, south, west is easy enough, the Mediterranean, but north, east, south, the Chumash gives you exact borders. Then the Chumash says in Chumash Dvarim at the end of Parshas Ekev, Kol Mokom Asher Tidrach Kaf Raglechem Bo Lechem Nesativ. Any additional area, any Aratzos Hanosafos, which will be conquered by the Israeli, by the Jewish army, can also be endowed with Kedushas Haaretz. Probably means, I'll be Pashtus, that if the Jewish army conquers Aratzos that is smuchas l'Eretz Yisrael, that border on Eretz Yisrael,
let's say the Jews will conquer America. So America is not adjacent there, it's Israel. Or they conquer Australia. Australia is not adjacent, or Mexico is not adjacent there, it's Israel. Means Aratzas Hanasavas Hasmuchas Laretz Yisrael. So once Eretz Yisrael is all filled up with Kedushas Haaretz, if the Jewish army will conquer an additional area that borders on Eretz Yisrael, that's contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, so then the Kedusha can spill over from Eretz Yisrael into the Aratzas Hanasavas. So the Gemara tells us, commenting on the Psukim in Sefer Shmuel, that David HaMelech went ahead and he conquered on behalf of his own family Aram Tzova. The Gemara refers to that as Surya. So the Gemara says that was a Kibush Yochid. David HaMelech had an army and he conquered it for his own personal planning to keep it for himself. It wasn't conquered in order to divide it among the whole Klal Yisrael. But there we're talking about Aratzas Hanasavas. That's Surya, Aram Tzova, was Michutz L'Gvulas Haaretz. That was not included within the borders that are described in today's Sedra. So there the Machlokes had a, there the Tanoim had a Machlokes. Whether Surya was ever endowed with Kedusha Min HaTorah, perhaps day number one, the Kedusha was only a make-believe Kedusha Min HaRabbanon. Do you require Kibush Rabbim for Aratzas Hanasavas also? Or should you say Kibush Yochid is also sufficient? Because the area borders on Eretz Yisrael, contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. And the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael spills over and extends into the Aratzas Hanasavas. But on Eretz Yisrael proper, within the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, there the Rambam understands that all the Tanaim would agree. You certainly would require Kibush Rabbim, and that's what the Nesiim, that was the role of the Nesiim, mentioned in today's Sedra. Nasiyacha, Nasiyacha, Lamata, Tikhu, Lincholes, Haaretz. The Nesiim represented the members of the Shvatim when they drew the map before they started the 7 years of battle in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, in order to declare, in order to set the stage for the Muhammad, that the Muhammad should be considered a Kibush Rabbim as opposed to a Kibush Yochid. Whenever the Jewish army is interested in doing Muhammad, there's a mitzvah to ask the Urim Betumim. There should be a mitzvah, if we would have Urim Betumim available today, there would be a mitzvah to ask the Urim Betumim whether we should go to war and how we should fight the war and so on. If you don't have Urim Betumim, so then Halacha says it depends. There are two types of Muhammad. There's a Muhammad's mitzvah, there's a Muhammad's Arshus. So Mohammed's mitzvah, let's say, in self-defense. Mohammed's mitzvah, you can go to war, you don't need Urim Atumim. If there would be Urim Atumim, there's a mitzvah to consult. But if you don't have Urim Atumim, the government of Eretz Yisrael has the right and the obligation to go to war even without Urim Atumim. When it comes to Mohammed's Rishus, so any Mohammed is an issue of Ritzicha on the enemy who gets killed, and an issue of sikun, that you're putting your own soldiers' lives into danger. So you have to have a heter to go to war. Mohammed's mitzvah, the mitzvah itself is the heter. Heter itzich and the heter sakona. But if you have a Mohammed's rishus, what's the heter? What right do you have to go wage war? It's an isa itzicha on the enemy and an isa sakona on your own soldiers. So then the Mishnah says, Ei matzim l'mchemes harshus, el alpi urim betumim, v'alpi Sanhedrin. You have to have authorization from the Sanhedrin also. Bizmano said today, we have neither urim betumim nor Sanhedrin, so it's out of the question. We're not allowed to have any l'mchemes harshus. No one is interested in l'mchemes harshus. No one's interested in l'mchemes mitzvah either, but you have no choice. L'mchemes mitzvah, you mechiv to go fight. Mara discusses what right, which halacha was employed here when we state that the 12 Nesim represented all the members of the Shebet. Why should they be able to represent the members of the Shebet? So the Gemara has three suggestions. The Gemara first gives one suggestion, rejects it, gives a second suggestion, rejects it, till they give the third and final interpretation of the parsha. The first thing Gemara suggests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recommended these names, recommendation, and the Rabban Shalom said all the members of Shevet Yehuda should appoint so and so as their shaliach, and all the members of Shevet Zvulun should appoint so and so as their shaliach. So the 12 Nesiim represented all the members of their Shevet midin shlichus, and this pasuk could serve as the source of the institution of the principle of shlichus, the shlucho shel adam kemoso. So the 12 Nesiim represented all of Klal Yisrael midin shlichus. So it's if all of Klal Yisrael made up that we're going to wage the war on behalf of everybody. The Gemara rejects that suggestion, that's impossible, because we know that when they were dividing Eretz Yisrael, there were some children who were Yisaimim. There are people dying all the time. There were some children who were Yisaimim that their fathers died, and the children were not yet bar mitzvah, and they're going to have a share in Eretz Yisrael. And a katan before bar mitzvah, a katan or a ketana, a child before bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, does not have authority to appoint a shaliach. So you cannot say this interpretation, the 12 Nesim represented all the members of the tribe. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu recommended that all the members of the Shevet should appoint these individuals, and then everybody followed along and they all appointed him as a shliach. Cannot be, because they were ketanim at the time of Chalukas Haaretz, that don't have the ability to appoint a shliach. So that's rejected. Then the Gemara has another suggestion, that if want to give a gift to someone and he's not here, so if I give the gift to someone else who is here, he can pick it up and make a kinyan. If I say I want to give a gift and the fellow's not here, so I say, okay, we'll wait till he comes. Next week he's going to come. So if I change my mind in between, so I have a right to change my mind. But if I want to give a gift to someone and someone says, well, let's make a kinyan today on behalf of the other person, so I said, okay, so I give the gift to someone who is here, and he says, I'm picking it up, and I'm kinda on behalf of so-and-so. So that's a din, zochen li'adam shelo b'fanam. You can acquire ownership of property on behalf of someone who's not here, because you're doing him a taifa. If he would know about it, he would certainly agree. He would want you to acquire the matana for him. So the Gemara gives the second suggestion, is that maybe the 12 Nesiim represented all the members of the Shevet, not midin shlichus, not that the Rabban Shalom was making a recommendation. He recommends that all the members of this Shevet should appoint so-and-so. No, the Rabban Shalom said, I want these 12 people to do the act of zachen liyadnam shaloi b'fonov on behalf of all of the members of their tribe. So this is the Gemara's second suggestion. Then the Gemara says they don't think that that's correct either, because the only time you say Zachen Liyadam Shalai Befanov is if it seems at the time that we're doing the act of Zechia that we're doing so and so a taiva. I want to give him $1,000 gift. So he probably would be happy about accepting the gift. So then you say Zachen Liyadam Shalai Befanov. And then when he finds out about it, and the Gemara says he has a prayer to turn it down. He can say, I don't want to owe any debt or gratitude to this guy. I don't want it. So he can break up the Zachem Liyad B'Shlebifon. If when he first finds out about the fact that we were Mekabel HaMatana for him, even though at the time we were Mekabel HaMatana, we thought that he stands to gain everything and to lose nothing. But if when he first finds out about it, he's Meiche, he says, I don't want it. So then he has the right to break up the Zachem. But you can only apply Zochen in the first place if it looks from the perspective of the present that you're really doing him a taifa. What if it's not so clear? Take, for example,
this is the big issue here in Italy. The Gemara has a principle that ger katan matbila mosal al das bezdin. The Jewish couple wants to adopt a non-Jewish baby, so they have the right to convert the baby, even though the child is an infant. He doesn't know what's going on at all. So, and a ger, you have to have das geiris. You have to be toivel in the mikveh l'shein geiris. So the little infant doesn't know at all what's happening. He doesn't realize what's going on. So the Gemara said, that's okay, we're doing the child a toivel. It's better to be a Jew than to be a nochri. So most of the recent poskim, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan and many others, were of the opinion that it's only considered a zechus for a non-Jewish baby to be converted if he's being adopted by religious parents who are going to give him a Jewish education. But to convert a non-Jewish child and to be brought up by non-observant parents, no Shabbos, no Kashrus, no Yiddishkeit, so Shem Beset Zadlai Magoi, why is that considered a zechus to be a non-observant Jew? A Jew is going to be held responsible for 613 mitzvahs. A nochri is only held responsible for 7 mitzvahs being in Noyach. See, if the parents are going to give him a religious education, he probably will turn out to be an observant Jew. So then it's considered a zechus. But if the parents don't plan to give him, it doesn't seem at all, they're not at all religious people, secular Jews. So they're going to just convert the child and bring him up as a secular Jew. So who says that that's a schus? Shem beset zablai magoi. So that's the problem here in Italy. There's a lot of intermarriage. And after a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman and has a child, so they go to the rabbi and they want the rabbi to fix it and to convert the baby. So how can you convert a baby if there's no schus? The whole conversion of a little baby is because it looks, from the perspective of the present, it looks like we're doing him a toivah. And then the Gemara says, when the child whom we were mekayer, when the child grows up and he reaches 12 or 13, bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, then if he says, I'm not interested, you have to explain to him, you were adopted, you were converted, and you have the right to turn it down. If you don't want, you don't have to be Jewish. Like if you accepted a gift on behalf of someone, when the person finds out about it, after Abreira to turn it down, he has a right to say, I don't want it. But the only time you say Zoch Liyodim Shlei B'Fonov is if in the very outset it looks like it's going to be a schus. If it doesn't even seem, if it's questionable, or it seems that it's not going to turn out to be a schus, then you have no right to say Zoch Liyodim Shlei B'Fonov. So that's why the Gemara rejects the second shot. You cannot say that the 12 Nesiim were appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to represent all of the members of the Shevet, employing the din of Zoch Liyodim Shlei B'Fonov. Why? Some people want to live in the Golan, and some people want to live Dafke near Yerushalayim, and other people want to live Dafke in the Negev, and other people want to live Dafke near this lake, and the other near the different people want to live in different locations. So how do you have the right to make a chalukah sa'aretz on behalf of everybody based on Zoch Liyodim Shlei B'Fonov? The Gemara says, Iker D'Nichalei B'Har V'Lai Nichalei B'Bikka. Iker D'Nichalei B'Bikka V'Lai Nichalei B'Har. Some people want to live in the mountains. Some people want to live in the valley. So what kind of Zoch Liyodim Shlei B'Fonov is that? It doesn't appear that, it doesn't seem so conclusive from the perspective of the present. When the Yud Beis Nesiim were doing the Chalukah before they started the whole Melchama of Kibush Eretz, it doesn't seem that it's going to turn out to be a schus. For sure there are going to be some people who are not going to be happy about what they got. So the Gemara therefore rejects even the second shot. So the Gemara finally arrives at the third interpretation, and that's the accepted shot, that the 12 Nesiim represented the members of the Shevet, all the members of the Shevet, based on the principle of apotropos, that the Nasi was appointed. What's an apotropos? An apotropos is basically the same thing as Zoch Liyodim Shlei B'Fonov. Someone's doing a teva on behalf of someone else. But whenever the Zoch Liyodim Shlei B'Fonov is done under the auspices of a Bezdin, then we call it apotropos.
when a good Samaritan goes and he volunteers, he's going to do a taiva for the other person, not under the auspices of a bezin. Then we call it zachem liadam shleibifon. So the Gemara says over here, it was done under the auspices of the Ribbono Shel Olam with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ribbono Shel Olam singled out these 12 people. So therefore, it's not a plain case of zachem liadam shleibifon. This case is apotropis. So that's why the Nesi'im had the right to represent all of the members of the Shevet. That's the din of apotropis. And this parsha of the Yud-based Nesi'im is the source of the principle of apotropis. It's interesting, we usually think of the concept of apotropis in the area of Dini Mominis. That when someone, a man dies, and he leaves a factory and he leaves a whole business and his children are very young, they don't know how to run the business. So you appointed apotropis. Here the apotropis was appointed to take care of Issa Leheta, to do the Kippur Sha'aretz.
You need alcohol.
Yeah. Go back to the winery and call it.